rest unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me, is the current of thy love, leading onward, leading homeward to my glorious rest above. Love of Jesus, love of every love the best. 'Tis an ocean vast a blessing, 'tis a haven sweet of rest. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, 'tis a heaven of heavens to me, and it lifts me up to glory, for it lifts me up to thee. Is a heaven of heavens to me, and it lifts me up to glory, for it lifts me up to thee.
Amen. Amen. Am I on? Would you turn me up? Thank you, brother Bob, Bob, Bob. Oh, goodness, that was a blessing. That was a blessing. Open your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 3. I think we're a little bit hot this morning on the mic now. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. If you have found your place in Hebrews chapter 3, would you stand out of love and respect for the Word of God? And we shall begin to read in verse number 7. The Bible says in verse number 7, Hebrews 3, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation." Now let me stop and go back and tell you what I believe Paul is writing about. And I said, I believe he's the author of the book of Hebrews. And Paul is writing here about what God said concerning Israel that did not believe Him and did not cross over into the promised land. They left Egypt, came to the Jordan River, and sent spies over into the land. They ought to have sent the spies over to see what route they was going to take, but they went over and saw the giants and said, "We can't do it." May I say to you, when in our Christian life we look at the will of God only through human eyes, we also will say, "I can't do it." The problems and the difficulties of life are always bigger than we are when we look at them through our human eyes. But when we look at them through faith in the promise of God, the giants melt away. And so Israel, instead of crossing over and going into the promised land, got the report that there's giants in the land and it caused them to fear. They hardened their heart. They did not obey God. And God sent them back into the wilderness to wander around in the wilderness, living in tents for 40 more years. He said, "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter in to my rest." That is, enter in, not talking about heaven, it's talking about the promised land, the land of victory. Then he said, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it's called today." Look at that. Exhort one another daily. Are you trying to be a blessing and a help to people daily? Or do you find it easier to be critical and hurtful? The Bible says, exhort one another, encourage one another, help push each other along in our journey for the Lord. While it's called today, lest any one of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into the rest, but to them that believed not? He did not say to those that were not guilty of unbelief that you can't go in, but those that hardened their hearts, those that grieved the Lord, those that believed not the word of God and the promise of God, he sent back to die in the wilderness. And for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness until every one of them above the age of 20 died, except Joshua and Caleb. And 40 years later, with a new generation and old Joshua and old Caleb, they come again to the Jordan River, and they believe God and cross over. The Bible says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. I want to speak to you from verse 19 for just a minute or two this morning, or three or four or several. And I want to speak on this subject, shut out through unbelief. If you knew what you were missing in your life because you're not trusting God, you would absolutely be overwhelmed. The things that we need, and many times the things that we desire, the desires of our heart that are within the will of God and the plan of God, we never know because we don't trust God. And it's not because we don't have faith. If you're saved, you have faith. You're saved by grace through faith. We're just not using what faith we have to trust God. And we're missing the blessings and the provisions and the help of God in so many, many areas of our life. I want to speak on the subject, shut out through unbelief. Heavenly Father, I need your help. I ask that you might close my mind to everything else that's going on. and help me to concentrate on the message this morning. Somebody here desperately needs you. Somebody needs to be saved today. Some Christian is hurting and struggling, and the great need of their life is for God to help and intervene. And yet, without faith, they'll never enjoy the blessings and the victories of God in their life. Someone here is in need of a church home, and they need your direction and help and wisdom. And Holy Spirit of God, would you be here in power and might? Would you apply the message to our hearts, beginning with the preacher doing the preaching and the person the furthest distance from me listening to my voice? I'm asking you this morning to save every unsaved person listening to my voice today, and help Christians to be able to step up and use the faith you've given them to trust you instead of making excuses that we cannot do this or that. Just trust you and obey you, lest we too be shut out because of our unbelief. Now fill me and use me, and we'll thank you in advance for every soul saved and every decision made. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The writer of Hebrews said so plainly, "So we see," that they could not enter in because of unbelief. I hope you see that this morning. God delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage in order that He might bring them into the promised land. Now, the promised land in the Bible is not a picture of heaven. They had to go in and possess the land. They had to drive out enemies. Heaven is a gift of God. The promised land for the Christian is that place of victory, that place of spiritual maturity, that place of living by faith in the will of God. May I say to you, and say it very plainly, God didn't save you just to get you to heaven. There's a lot God has for you right here in this life if you'll learn to trust Him. This life does not have to be a vast waste area. It can be a place of victory and joy and excitement if we'll learn to walk by faith in the will of God. He brought them out of Egyptian bondage that He might bring them into the promised land. He delivered us from sin's bondage when we got saved in order that we might live a victorious life for Him and honor Him with our life down here on this earth until we get to glory, until we get to heaven. However, they did not enter into the promised land for 40 more years, until all of Israel, over 20 years of age, had died except for Caleb and Joshua. They did not enter into the promised land, but it was not because the enemies were too great, nor was it because Israel was too weak. God, who had delivered them from the most powerful nation on earth at that time, had also promised to go with them and fight for them. And all they had to do is believe God and obey Him. However, because of their fears and unbelief, they did not enter into the promised land for 40 more years, until they died in the wilderness. Their children, their grandchildren, struggled in the wilderness for 40 more years because of mom and daddy's unbelief. What your family is struggling for and in and with because you haven't trusted God. You're not walking by faith today. In the book of Hebrews, we're told that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. Here was their problem. They didn't believe God. They just didn't trust God. Now, it was not because they did not know God's will for their lives. God told them to go in and possess the land. That was the will of God. Yet they perished out in the wilderness, outside of the promised land, Because they did not believe God. It was not for the lack of evidence of God's power that they did not go in. They had been eyewitnesses to the wonderful working power of God. From the plagues there in Egypt to the pillar of cloud and fire that went before them, they saw the Red Sea open up and the walls of water stand up while they went through on dry ground and then turned back and watched God bring the walls of water down to destroy the armies of the Pharaoh. They were witnesses of the bitter waters of Marah being made sweet by a tree being cut down and cast into the water. They saw this. They saw God take murmuring Korah and his crowd and open up the earth and swallow them up into hell alive. They were eyewitnesses to that. They saw water come out of the rock when Moses spoke to it. Day after day after day, they were witnesses of it. They were witnesses every morning of getting up and seeing manna from God on the dew, the hoary frost, and though it'd go out and gather it for the day. They saw shoes that did not wear out for 40 years and clothes that did not wear out for 40 years. Now I know for some of you women that would be a dull thing. You wouldn't get excited about that. But that was a miracle of God. How many of you put a pair of blue jeans on your kids and send them out to play and they last for 40 years? I don't know if they grew with them or what, but they didn't wear out. They were witnesses of all of this. They had eyewitness evidence of God's power. And yet they didn't believe God. Their not going in to possess the land was not for the want of seeing the fruits of the land. They sent out the spies and they came back. They'd cut some grapes. And the clusters were so large they had to put them on a stave between two people and carry them back in. They saw the pomegranates. These were fruits beyond anything they grew in Egypt or they had ever seen in the wilderness. Yet, they did not believe God. Their not entering into the promised land was not for the want of a desire for something better. They were not satisfied with their wilderness life. They desired something different than eating manna every day. They were tired of living in tents and being nomads. They wanted something better, and yet the better God offered them required them to trust God. And they would not believe Him. They were shut out by unbelief. There in the promised land were houses waiting for them they had not built, vineyards they had not planted, wells they had not dug, all waiting for them to go in and possess the land. And yet because of their unbelief, they got to the border and feared the giants. They didn't believe God and they turned back around and for 40 years lived without the blessings and promises of God waiting for them just on the other side of their unbelief. May I say, first of all, this terrible sin of unbelief still plagues the people of God today. Unbelief comes from an evil heart. That's what the Bible tells us here. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of us an evil heart of unbelief. You say, I'm not doing anything evil. God says it's evil not to trust me, not to believe me. And an evil heart and a heart of unbelief never profits the child of God. Now you know what profit is. That's where you get more than you started with. God wants to give you more than you've got right now, but you're never going to profit in your Christian life until you learn to trust God. You say, but I just don't have all that faith. If I had the faith of a Rick Martin, I promise you that Rick Martin started out using what faith he had. And God's got blessings and miracles waiting in your life if you'll just start out also using what faith you have where you are right now. Because we don't have all the faith to do all things. We do nothing. But may I say to you, Christians don't start out in the at the top. We don't start out with all faith. God wants us to start out using what faith we have, and we'll grow our faith and He'll enlarge our faith. If you want to increase your muscle capacity, you've got to exercise what muscles you've got. You can tell what muscles I've been exercising. Table muscles. But if we want muscular faith, we've got to start using what faith we have. Unbelief comes from an evil heart, and it never profits the Christian. Unbelief causes the Christian to miss the perfect will of God for their life. The perfect will of God for Israel was for them to cross over and possess the promised land. That was the will of God. And by the way, they still don't have it all. Even to this day. God had far more for them than they've ever possessed. And you know why? Because of they didn't believe God. May I say to you that belief is not some conscious assent. Belief is obedience to God. God said, do it. We're to do it. You say, I don't know if I can. Well, how about trying? When they crossed over into the promised land, they had to cross a flooded Jordan. I wonder if they were required to put their foot to the water first. Oh no, the water's out there. I'll drown. Won't you take the first step using what faith you have and trust God for the second step? We never see what God's going to do in the second minute because we don't trust Him the first minute. Because of their unbelief, they miss the perfect will of God for their life. And because we don't trust God, we live lives that are inferior to what God wants us to live. God has far more for us than we're possessing today. God wants to give us and do for us far more than we're enjoying. It's not because God has financial problems or inflation or whatever it is, the problem is our unbelief, our lack of faith. Israel did not believe the promise of God concerning the promised land, and they're possessing it. And because of their unbelief, they missed the perfect will of God for their lives. Listen to what God said to them in Exodus chapter 15. Now, from deliverance from Egypt to the border of the promised land was only about 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. Exodus chapter 12 is where they're delivered. Now in Exodus chapter 15, God's given them this promise concerning the promised land. Listen to it. Verse 13. Thou in thy mercy has led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Talking about God. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto the holy habitation. The people out there, the enemies of God, shall hear and be afraid, and sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed, and mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Cana shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone till the people pass over. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thou have established. That's God's promise to them. And yet they didn't believe God. You said, man, how foolish are they? How foolish were they? As foolish as men you are today, by not trusting Him. What are you missing in your life because you don't believe God's Word written down for us in the book? What are you missing today because you don't believe God when the Holy Spirit tugs at your heart to yield your life to Him? Unbelief. For the child of God, unbelief results in a hardened heart against God. When you say no to God, when you're disbelieving God, when you're not yielding to obey God, and you say no, whether it be at an invitation time in a church service like this, or whether it be trusting God to tithe and give, or to learn how to be a soul winner, or to surrender your life to preach or be a missionary, it doesn't matter what it is. When God speaks to your heart and you say no, you're hardening your heart against God. You make it easier to say no the next time. That's what God said in verse 15. But when we refuse to believe God, we're provoking God to judgment. You know, I didn't have to say no verbally to my daddy to provoke him. All I had to do is just ignore what he said and not obey him. And somehow or another, he took it personally. I mean, he was provoked. And when we say no to God by our unbelief, and that's what unbelief is, it's just basically saying, no, God, I can't trust you. It provokes God to judgment. That's what it says in Hebrews 3:16. And then Hebrews 3:17 says, not only does it harden our hearts and provoke God, but it grieves God. Do you think God is pleased when His children refuse to trust Him? And by the way, you're not using faith when you do not obey Him. When we obey God, we're practicing what we say we believe. It grieves God when we don't trust Him, when we don't obey Him. It grieves Him. Does it ever bother you that God might be grieved with the life you're living right now? Does it ever bother you that God might be grieved with your attitude or spirit? He tells us to cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Does it ever bother you that God might be grieved with the spirit we have in us? It should. It should. And then when we don't believe God, we miss the perfect will of God for our lives. We miss the perfect will of God for our lives. Unbelief prevents the Christian from witnessing and experiencing the wonderful working power of God in our lives and for our benefit. Unbelief in the life of a Christian is a thief that robs us and robs our families of the blessings of God. The thing that steals away God's blessings from our life is not some terribly wicked sin or rebellion. It's unbelief. It is our lack of faith in God and His Word. Matthew 17:20. Jesus said there's some things you can't do because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You say, well, that sounds good, but I can't believe that. Well, it wasn't some upstart young preacher saying it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And then in Mark 11:22, Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Just trust Him. I remember years ago, I started singing this song as a young boy. Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the ways you have trod. Never alone are the least of His children. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God in your pain and your sorrow. His heart is touched with your griefs and despair. Cast all your cares and your burdens upon Him. And leave them there. Oh, leave them there. Have faith in God, though all else fail about you. Have faith in God. He provides for His own. He cannot fail. Though all kingdoms shall perish, He rules. He reigns upon His throne. Have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. And I say to you that your greatest need today is not a better job. It's not more money. It's starting where you are and trusting God, using what faith you have. The lack of faith is robbing you of God's blessings and God's provision for your life. God desires to give us and do far more for us than we're receiving. We are shut out by our unbelief. Let me ask you very plainly, what are those needs you're experiencing today? Does God take great delight in withholding them from His children? I don't think He does. And when my children have a great need and I can meet that need, what a joy it is. And may I say to you, our great God wants to meet our need, but we tie His hands because of our lack of belief. What burden or heartache are you carrying today that God could lift from you? Is your unbelief stealing away God's working for you? Don't allow unbelief to cripple you as a Christian. God is trustworthy. His promises can be trusted. Why don't you just come to God with the faith you have right now and trust Him? Won't you just lay your burdens at His feet and start where you are and tell Him, God, I believe, but I don't know how much faith I've got. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Just start where you are. Start using what faith you have. Jesus tells the story in the Gospel of Mark chapter 9 about a man who had a son that had a dumb spirit, and this son had evil spirits in him, and this son would fall and foam and cut himself, and he'd fall into the fire. And they brought him unto Jesus, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore the boy, the Bible says, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And Jesus asked the father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it has cast him, the demon spirit has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of this child cried out and said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. He said, Lord, I don't know how much faith I've got, but I trust you. And I'm using what faith I have to trust you. And Lord, give me more faith. Help me to grow in faith. Help me to learn to depend on you every day in my walk, in my dealings, in my life. And that's what God wants us to do today. We're shut out because of unbelief. And lastly, every person today who is on their way to hell are shut out from heaven and salvation because of their unbelief. You see, Jesus Christ has purchased salvation for sinners. He's made it available to anyone only by believing on Jesus to save them. Why, the Word of God says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. If you die and go to hell today, it's not because you're too great a sinner and God cannot forgive all your sins. The fact is, Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Acts 13 verse 38 says, be known unto you therefore, men and brother, that through this man Jesus is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. Oh, if you're not saved today, if you're not on your way to heaven, it's not because you're too great a sinner. Jesus has made provision already to save you. If you're on your way to hell today and you've never been saved, it's not because that salvation is too costly and you can't afford it. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1, the Bible says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And spiritually speaking, he's talking about salvation and the water of life that's available freely. And let me prove it to you in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. The last invitation in the Bible, Jesus said, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. Oh, my dear friend, if you're not saved today, it's not because you're too great a sinner. And it's not because salvation is too costly and you can't afford it. Neither is it because getting saved is too hard and you can't acquire it. The Bible says in Romans 10, 13, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The weakest individual can call. That word call means ask. Lord, would you save me? It didn't say you had to be the strongest, you had to be the most deserving. It said for whosoever, boy or girl, man or woman, intellect or illiterate, big or little, rich or poor. Oh, my dear friend, if you're not saved, it's not because you're too great a sinner. And it's not because that salvation is too costly. And it's not because getting saved is too hard. You're not saved because you haven't believed upon Jesus Christ. You haven't put your trust in Him. Maybe it's because you say, well, I cannot believe that salvation is provided for me by God Himself. Maybe you're thinking, I cannot believe that Jesus has paid the complete price of my salvation when He died on the cross. There's a lot of them think that they've got to do. But Jesus said, no, I've done. It's finished. Many cannot believe that it's a free gift given on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ and on the merits of grace alone. And yet, God said in Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you have to do one thing in order to receive a gift, it's not a gift. You've earned it. If you had to pay one penny, you've had to buy it. And may I say, Jesus doesn't require us to earn it or pay for it, because He's already paid for it all. And it's a gift to any one of us. You don't have to die and go to hell. Jesus has made a way of salvation for you. And He's made it available on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ. And you know the marvelous thing about it is, God says He even gives us the faith with which to believe. So all you've got to do is act on the desire to be saved in your heart and come and ask Jesus. You say, well, did I have enough faith when I asked Him? If you had enough faith to ask, that's enough faith. Don't be shut out by unbelief. Don't miss heaven because you didn't accept God's provision for your sin. Unbelief prohibits the lost sinner from being saved. Now, we have these promises from God so we can believe on Jesus Christ and be saved. Listen, John chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. John 3, 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I've got to ask you this question. And when I ask the question, I'm through this morning. It's up to you. Just like God brought them to the Jordan River and there was the promised land and God said, go in and possess it. And they said, no. And they went back to die in the wilderness. They were shut out by unbelief. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you invited Him to come into your heart and save you? You're standing at the very brink of salvation. It's just a simple request away, calling upon Jesus. And yet, to disbelieve and do nothing is to go back into your life and perhaps die without ever knowing Christ. Don't say no to Jesus this morning. Have you accepted Him? Every person that says, I'm a Christian, ought to be able to say, I know that I know that I know I'm saved. Salvation is not a hope-so, maybe-so matter. It's a no-so matter. Do you know that you're saved? Well, I know I'm saved because of the Word of God, and I know I'm saved because I can look back and remember when I accepted Christ as Savior. Have you? Why don't you cross over today and just come trust Jesus? I promise you there's not a person in here that would stand up and say, preacher, I want to die and go to hell. And yet you don't know you're saved. And you're not saved because you have not believed upon the Son of God as your Savior. Why don't you trust Him today? Why don't you invite Him into your heart? He said, all who will come unto me, I'll not cast one out. He has promised that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Unbeliever, unchristian, unsaved, why don't you trust Him this morning? Quit making excuses. Quit looking at the giants. Quit saying, what if? Jesus eliminates the what ifs. You just trust Him. Just trust Him. You say, I don't know what to do. I've got good news for you. When we stand and sing in a moment, if you'll come, we'll show you what to do. You can be saved and know it. And Christian, what are you missing because you're not trusting the God who saved you? What are you missing in your life? And what is your family missing because you're not obeying Him? You're not using what faith you have. You're just coasting along in your comfort zone, and yet God has something more and something better for you, but you're going to have to step out by faith and trust Him to ever know it. Don't you think it's time that you start trusting Him? You start obeying Him? Heavenly Father, that's our message. God, would you speak to our hearts in these next few moments? There's some people here today, Heavenly Father,